Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have Steve Marshall, comedian, here joining us. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you for having me. I never know how to begin when people talk. Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm actually very excited to be here. I'm not always that excited when I ask.
I think that was a perfect response.
Steve and I did a show a couple weeks ago in like the Poconos area with a couple other awesome comics. And I was really anxious before. I get nervous before, which you have now witnessed when you come with me. And I was just being really honest, and Steve was being really honest back. And, you know, we kind of bonded over not just the anxiety, but the humanness. Like, there are a lot of comics that can seem like robots almost. Like, you don't get everyone kind of sharing vulnerabilities right before they go on stage. And we had a good moment where Steve was like, oh, you're actually a human. I was like, you're a human. Yeah.
Well, that's what made me want to come on today, because I think we all speak in generalities, but even if you work a job, a 9-to-5 job, if you have a corporate job, if you're a school teacher, not so much a school teacher, but we all have a face we put on. And sometimes I feel that comedians, they put a game face on, and you know, you go to acting school and you learn how to be vulnerable and you learn how to take your defenses down. And then you find people that once they're out of the acting class, they forget everything and put this wall up. And what's even worse is you and I were in, we were getting a very nice meal. They gave us this little room, okay? And we're in the room and we're eating. And it was such a pleasure, Kate. You were like, oh my God, this is a real person. She's not talking about comedy. She's not talking about where she just got booked. She's not demeaning other comedians. And so you did have this great, you know what I mean? Look at me here. I'm just a real person, you know? And I said, this is great. I'm like with another human being. You know, you don't have to put the game face on. First of all, you shouldn't put the game face, in my belief, unless you're playing a character like Steve Martin, the wild and crazy guy, unless you're Richard Lewis, which is, you know, I have fresh problems flown in daily. You know, you're playing a character. I think with the other comedians, you could just be more authentic when we're eating.
Yeah. And it was really good food. Except Alan ordered the seafood risotto. Everyone else ordered like the really good beef dinner. And we were like, oh my gosh. And
we ordered this beef dish. Now, usually comedians get, like, sometimes when you're first starting out, which means your first starting out meant the first 11 years. Now people are doing it 3 weeks. I'm headlining. But, you know, so the first 11 years, I had to eat off the comedy. Hi, CG. And CG's relaxing me too. Isn't it nice just to see a gentleman in a t-shirt and just a trucker hat? You know, it's not even a baseball cap. You know, it's just like a trucker. You kind of have the Errol Flynn mustache.
Yeah, the stash is an accident. It's just, I get razor burn, and then so I stop shaving for a little bit, and then this stash, and it just ruins me with people. It just ruins my social connections.
He looks like the villain that ties the woman to the train tracks. Just naturally, that's how his facial hair grows in.
If I were casting you, here's who you are. You're the guy who, when everybody is this, you know, in every horror movie, they have a person who says, I know who did it, but they never listen to that person. By the way, that would be me, all right? That's what I feel like in my whole comedy life. Nobody in my real life, they're both real, but nobody believes me about anything. So I'm the person who keeps saying, no, I think the bodies are underneath there. And they say, no, he's such a nice person. And CG,
yep.
You're the guy who believes me. You're the only guy in the movie who believes me. And then they kidnap me. I'm in the basement. You come to save me and you get murdered.
Yeah. The nice guy, the one nice guy who you could trust, you know,
yeah, that's
he's
you.
Wrong. He's gone. He, because that person's not a strong person. So they do end up getting killed.
Well, I think you're a strong person, but you have an innocence about you. You're real strength. You know, you're not this faux toxic male strength, you know what I mean? And you're like, I think I hear screaming next door, you know? And I'm like, CG, CG. And Kate's like doing the, I don't want to make you doing the dishes, then I'll look sexist. You know, Kate is like, you know, looking at the stock market, you know what I mean? Her portfolio. Because anything I say could be used against me.
Right? I like how you did that, though. That was really good. That made her look really responsible. I like that.
No, she is. She's very smart. So she's looking at the stock market. She's diversifying her portfolio. You're doing the dishes, you know? And you hear, yeah. CG, CG, you know what I mean? And you're like, honey, you were here? And she's like, I'm diversifying my portfolio, you know? And then, right. You know what I mean? And even the dog is like,
yeah, I don't think I would bust in to rescue anyone at this point. Like, I think I've been too jaded to want to like physically endanger myself. Like I would call, you know, 911 if I really heard things, but like, I pretty much mind my biz at this point, like almost in a negative way, because like, well,
like that person would be done for.
Yeah, I'd be.
I would continue to diversify my portfolio.
Yeah, right, like I'd be there. I hope CG is home. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, and you would be like, I'm not getting involved. Meanwhile, like the guy's removing axes from his truck. You know what I mean? He's got miles of duct tape. You ever notice that whenever they catch them, they always have duct tape in their truck? Like these idiots, they always have duct tape. Put it in the glove compartment. Underneath the seat,
right.
You know what I mean? Well, it's so nice meeting you, CJ, because
you too. I've never been complimented so well in my life.
Because you make me feel comfortable. You know, I'm not, I don't know, maybe you're gonna switch into a tuxedo. He could be like James Bond. Remember one, I think Dr. No, he pulls up in like a, he's got like a scuba suit on and he takes it off, he's got a tuxedo underneath. You might. But this relaxes me. Look, I'm a working class kid. I'm a little Jewish boy from Flatbush, you know, public school kid, you know, I went to PS 217. Then I went to a maximum security junior high school, Ditmas. All right. It was so, did you guys, Kate, where did you grow up, by the way?
We grew up in like the Philly suburbs, nothing crazy.
And I'm a major fan of the Jews. I grew up there too. That's where I met Kate. I went to 1,000 bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs.
Did you say, CJ, you're a major fan of the Jews?
Yes.
I just want to tell you that tonight's broadcast is brought to us by Strikes Matzah. That's right, Strikes Matzah. Strikes Matzah, egg matzah, when you want to have breakfast, but you don't have time to make eggs, Strikes Egg Matzah. And it's so beloved, even CJ starts his day off with it.
Yeah. And I'm full Gentile. I would love me some egg matzah. I used to actually get high when I was a teenager. I used to get high and we had matzah for some reason in our house. We had matzah, the salty kind. And I would eat, I loved eating it. I would just go, I would bring it up to my room and eat it while I was high. Just this story. I don't know if that makes me strange, you know, or what, but I'm into it.
You know what? That's so honest. You know, that's so, because if a comedian were writing this as a joke, they would say, nah, don't say egg matzah. Nah, make it a bagel. You know, they're always changing the truth. You know what I mean? But here's the thing with matzah, why I think it makes sense. You can eat a lot of matzah and it's only like 100 calories. And I think the salt, CJ, even though I don't do drugs, if you want it, I'm not making a commercial here. I once had a girl snip Benadryl off my penis. I'm very Jewish, okay? I always have antihistamines. In the summer, when I have sex, I have to be on the bottom because my sinuses have to drain. So there's a lot of things going on with me. But
I'm going to use that because I like being on the bottom. I'm actually going to use that. I've never heard that before, but I'm going to start using that so I can always be on the bottom.
You know what? Are we allowed to talk this way? We can go any direction. You look, yeah. Anyone that invites me on their show, my introduction is he's not politically correct and he's not here to behave. So people invite me to do shows. And then afterwards they go, you weren't behaving. Did you not see? That's my intro. I'm not here to behave. My Twitter is @don'tbehave. My Instagram, @becalmdon'tbehave. So what I usually do, CJ, I'm not leaving. I'm just, you know what? This is so nice to be with a couple. It's like, you know, if somebody's tuning in and we don't talk, if you just quiet for a second, it's going to look like couples therapy. But the truth is, you're doing the therapy for me. I always find, and Kate, I just, oh my God, I'm so happy to be here. CG, whenever I'm with a woman, and I've been with women of all size breasts, am I allowed to say this? Am I okay
Absolutely.
Saying this?
Please.
But whenever a woman is zoptic and she's voluptuous with her breasts, I always put them on top so I can stare at them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm asked, you know, to be on the top. And so I do my duty. I do my duty as a man. But do I like it? No. I like to lay back and enjoy the scenery and get the whole, and it's like correction. It's all access to everything they got. It's the all access position.
You get a lot of energy when I ask if I'm like, do you want to do it from behind? Your energy levels are great. For that.
If she said, what do you think?
What a great couple. What a great couple. They're so polite to each other. They ask. They just go, honey, if it's not too, you know, I don't want to force you. If you're in the mood, would you like to do it from behind? And you know, as a matter of fact, I was thinking of doing it from behind. I didn't want to bring it up, but since you did, yes, I would enjoy doing it from behind. This is very, 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 very,
exactly.
Very nice. We're very polite, you know.
Sometimes when her energy levels are low. She said, you know, she tells me her energy levels are low. Maybe she could just lay on her belly. And I say, sure, you can. Yes, you could do that. That's exactly the position I would have asked you to do.
But then that insults me. When he says it like that, it's like, why were you like waiting for me to turn around? You know, like now it is couples. Why do you not want to see my face? No, I don't really care. But when he's so enthusiastic, it makes me pause for a quick.
Well, you should see my girlfriend and I. All right, thank God she's not listening right now because I'm always in trouble. But it's like with us, it looks like where you guys are so like, oh, you want to do it from behind, and then there's a gracefulness. All right, when we change positions, it looks like we're moving furniture. All right, there's no question. It's like, help me, help me, help me. No, that side, lower it. No, turn it sideways. We get that's literally what it. What it looks like. Now, if you remember the movie American, because I'm very stream of consciousness, if you remember the movie American Me, which was about the Mexican mafia with James Edward Olmos, okay? If you remember that, and that comes from another movie, I'm more street than people realize. I mean, people think I grew up like in a suburb. I didn't. I went to public school. I'm not one of these little, I'm a little more street than people realize. I saw the original movie was Blood In, Blood Out. And it's about
that I saw that one I saw.
I knew I loved your. I love this guy. I love. Can I switch into your frame and can you sort of interview us, Kate? Yes, Blood In, Blood Out. It's about how the Mexican mafia was created, and the head of the mafia, the Mexican mafia, he goes to prison. When he finally gets out, and he makes love to his wife, and this relates to what you're talking about. In order for him to enjoy himself, he has to turn her around and do her from behind because that's how it's done in prison. And nobody has ever mentioned that about this scene. I'm really into movies. I'm really, you know, so was that too much for our
show? No, listen, there's a movie with Denzel where that happens. I forget what movie it is exactly, but Denzel just got out. What was it?
Training Day, the one he got the Academy Award, he plays the mean.
Not Training Day, no. It okay.
Was it Jaws, the one where he's in charge of the beach and the shark comes and then Denzel has to tell everybody, you know, hey, we got to close the beach down. And, oh no, that's not.
There's a huge fucking shark out here, and they're like, all right, Denzel, you know, and he, yeah, that yeah, should yeah. have been.
There's
there.
A motherfucking joke, shark. Dude. I know I'm all over. Is this okay, everyone? I just want you to have a good show.
It's
we can
more
get another
okay.
guest. Is it too late to invite
it's
someone
It's what
else?
We do. What you do is what we do. It's perfect.
Because I think this is how real people are when you don't have an agenda. You know, I read a little of your Facebook, Kate, and I was reading something about, something really impressed me. So I'm going to try and say, so your son had wanted to go to some sort of group thing where he had wanted to go to this group thing, and I'm going to try and say this polite, you know, whatever. And at the group thing, there was a lot of masculinity going on in the group thing, and the kids were being yelled at almost like a football coach, you know, yells at someone, and it's supposed to prepare them to become men. And And
you're talking about the police academy.
Yeah, Oklahoma, oh, the grasses. I'm trying to be very, I'm not pointing.
You can say I scared the shit out of them. I scared the shit out of them.
I only point the finger at me. That's my whole act is about my weak, my flaws, my awkwardness, my, listen, if you're a woman watching this and you want to yell at me, pick a number. Because there's plenty of women, including my girlfriend, are online. It's like a deli counter. Number 33 to complain about Steve, go to the front of the line. And yet I'm a nice guy. Yes, well, what you said was, at the end you said, nobody starts with my son. And I was like, I wish she was my mother. I wish, because my mother would have been like, beat the shit out of her. I mean, seriously. My mother had she had no concern for me. Remember, I might have said that night, I stole a chocolate bar when I was 8 years old from Bohacks. It was a big, large Hershey's bar. You shouldn't steal. I'm not saying you should steal. But my mother wouldn't get me anything. She wouldn't get me anything. So I stole it. I was probably starving also. And she cornered me and she said, she found it. I hid it in my underwear drawer. And she said, Stephen, if you tell me the truth, I'll never punish you. And I didn't want to say anything. She said, Stephen, we'll give you one more chance. If you tell me the truth, if you're honest, I won't punish you. I said, yes, mommy, I did steal it. And she beat the shit out of me. And yeah. And that's when I began to find out, this telling the truth has consequences. You got to tell the truth, but it has consequences. But if I had a mother like you, because you're the type of mother, you're just the type of mother who takes, you know, I hate to use words that everybody uses, these words like elephant in the room and low hanging fruit. I hate these fucking people that repeat, but you're like an advocate. I think you're an advocate for your son. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm an advocate for him, and this is going to sound corny, but other kids, because I feel the torture. I feel the torture as an adult of this world, and I think kids extra do. So in that particular instance, you know, you kind of know it, where Shane asked to go to police academy camp. This was years ago. I took them.
Right. Not the movie with Michael Winslow making sounds.
The sound effects guy.
Can you imagine that? But, Mom, I want to go to police academy. And then he's just there.
I wish it had been that.
That guy was a goddamn genius. We don't have anything like him anymore.
Yeah,
like, we don't have any famous people who make just noises and shit.
Jay Farrow, kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, Jay Farrow is such a, so, you know, we'll come back to Police Academy a second, Police Academy 5, Your Son's Dilemma. But so I got to meet Michael Winslow just recently. He is the nicest, most genuine, down-to-earth guy. And Jay Farrow is another guy who's just the most down-to-earth. These would be people we want to eat beef with us.
So you're saying just in general, the guys who make crazy sound effects with their mouth are just good people. Just good.
Probably good in bed also. They're probably, since we're going to talk about sex today, it's not, they're probably also good in bed too.
This sound effect guy be fucking.
Probably the truth. Yeah. I could see some young lady with Michael Winslow and he's in her lap and she's like, do the lawnmower. I like the lawnmower. The lawnmower. Vroom, 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 blah, blah, blah. That, because everyone that does sounds does this. They all do that. They all do the sound. I hope this isn't too much about sex.
I don't know if everyone can do that. That was pretty impressive the way you just did that twice.
I am fantastic, and this is man to man. CG, I am fantastic at oral sex, and I know you're secure.
I'm the worst.
No way.
I'm the worst ever.
It's good for comedy, Kate. Kate, it's good for comedy. You see, the Jewish woman, you have to realize, because I date a Jewish woman, you're an accoutrement to a Jewish woman. In other words, you represent her 24 hours a day. So you have to be great at everything. Even if you suck, you represent her. My girlfriend doesn't let me say anything negative about myself. How am I gonna have a career? I mean, seriously, you've seen my show, Kate. She doesn't let me talk negatively. Like I'll say, we argue, because I also do a little TV show type thing. And I'll say, we argue, and she starts to go, don't tell people we argue. And right then and there, the argument is on.
Right.
So I'm sure you're very good at it, but I did not.
She'll tell you I'm great at anything. Like your girl, she'll tell you I'm great at everything. But
can I
look up to a man who's great at oral sex. I look up to him.
Hold on, I will say the one thing that he's not great, well, one of the things he's not great at is leaving, like knowing how to say no. If there's like peer pressure and everyone wants CG to stay somewhere, I have to be the bad guy, which it's almost comical how it happens. Cause like, I guess it's kind of funny to make me the bad guy. Cause I can easily be like, it's time to go home.
And no, but like, I saw on. That with your like, son. You stuck, I saw Kate. That with your son. She's very, I can already tell you're very, look, again, if you're listening, if you don't like stereotypes, tune into some fake podcast. Okay. Cause we all use stereotypes. Some of them are positive. Jewish women are very strong. We grew up in a matriarchy, which means the Jewish women go to, not all, but they're entitled to go to college. Hey, they're even allowed to think for themselves. How about that? And very often, you know, I don't do anything. I can't do anything but this without, like, I have to make an airplane reservation. I'm not kidding. She does it, right? You know, my girlfriend does everything. So you're very lucky. Now, I just want to say, if anyone else is listening, Black women are great, Italian women are great, Chinese women are great, Catholic women are great, transgenders are great, transitioning people are great. By the way, I'm transitioning right now. I just want to get it out there. If you're easily offended, I'm transitioning. That's right. I'm going from Jewish to white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. It's a slow process. Nice. Yesterday, I bought one golf club. And I'm starting to use the word super a lot. That's what I say. People ask me how I feel. I just go super. All right. And no feelings. No feelings. I'm getting the white Anglo-Saxon. No feelings. How are you feeling? Super. You know, how did your heart, how did your heart surgery go? Super, you know? And then I'm also thinking today, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I might buy the large jar of Hellman's mayonnaise. I'm just thinking of it.
Now, is that really see this racism against Anglo-Saxon white people? I've never really heard it before because I'm one of them.
And wait, now I'm a racist against white Anglo-Saxon?
No, I kind of love it. So wait, so
I'm very defensive, by the way. Can I just get it out there?
Super a lot.
Yeah, super.
And then a large jar. Begin
playing golf. You got to play golf.
The biggest jar of Hellman's mayonnaise at BJ's is in my refrigerator right now. So I don't know how you knew that. I thought everyone had that.
I'll tell you.
Why wouldn't you have the biggest jar of Hellman's mayonnaise?
No, because very Jewish people, it's not kosher. If you eat dairy, you have to wait an hour before you eat meat. Okay, so you have to, that sounds like a dirty joke, doesn't it, everybody? if you eat, let's do it the reverse. It's even dirtier. If you eat meat, you've got to wait an hour before you do. That means if you go down on someone and she's breastfeeding, you can't. All right, let's leave that alone.
Yeah, now these are things I should know, as I've been a friend to the Jews for a very long time, for many years. And I feel like that's stuff that I should have known and I did not know yet.
And you know what?
Yeah,
he has been a friend to the Jews because he came to my bat mitzvah years ago and they forgot. He came to my bat mitzvah when I was 13. And they forgot to lift me up in the chair for whatever reason. And I was devastated. I got home, it hit me. No one put me up in the chair. So CG and—
there was about to be a major meltdown.
I was about to have a meltdown. And him and my other friend, they lifted me up in the chair at my house. So he has been a huge fan and friend of the Jews, helping.
This is the weirdest, I feel like, are we on air, Israel? I mean, I don't want to lose anyone here. For those of you that are not Jewish, I love Melba toast, okay? White bread is great, toasted or not toasted, okay? I love those little hors d'oeuvres they give you at the non-Jewish, you know, those little, they give you, actually I don't because—
Wait, the pig in the blanket?
No, in the blanket you can actually get at a probably reformed Jewish thing, right?
I love it would have to be reformed.
Yeah, I like to be, but what I notice is I have a lot of Italian and Jewish friends, Italian people and Jewish people. Sometimes before they go to a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant wedding, they will stop off and eat because they know there's not going to be enough food.
That's probably
God,
true.
What's going on? What happened? What's happening?
You know, this one had to grow up. He grew up in a very strict religious household and he had to go to these things. I guess then they were called Young Life, but it was like those teen youth church things. And we always laugh about it because they try to make them so cool. Like they really try to sell it to the teens. Like, this is going to be so cool. And then there's like rocks off. Like,
you and
about
God
Jesus.
Are gonna love it. And then they sway back and forth and close their eyes and they hold hands and play the acoustic guitar. And then just looking back, it was such a weird cult, such a weird, crazy cult that we were in.
You know, but like, I kind of like it.
The youth pastors were so good at convincing. There were some hot chicks there at times. There were some, you know, until everybody figured out, like, yo, this place is fucking weird as fuck. And then, but up until then, they were selling it. They were selling it pretty good, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to call, all right, again, I feel like I just want to be strict. Listen, I'm just a little Jewish boy from Flatbush who likes to make fun. I just like to make fun of everything, including myself, okay? But I have nothing against Christianity. I have nothing against, you're right. They always play the folk guitar. They never go, they never plug in. Remember when Bob Dylan went from acoustic to electric and everybody like hated him? Could you imagine if at one of these Christian type camps, if they go electric, it's going to be like, whoa, you know, they're going to have a heart attack.
That might be one of their next moves to recruit the kids. They're like, guess what? Songs of Jesus, all electric guitar. And the kids are like, well, and they're like, come on. You convince the parents to come because the parents know they're safe there. Because you are not going to be getting laid. You are not going to be drinking. You're not going to be having fun of any kind. So the parents are all about. They're like, yeah, you kids will go to Young Life tonight.
You know what? That would be a great brochure, even for a synagogue, because you're not supposed to listen. Do you really, listen, if you Christian kids were not getting laid, believe me, we Jewish kids were not getting laid. If you weren't getting laid, believe me, there was nobody having sex, including the rabbi and his wife, probably, okay? I did not get laid till I was 20 years old. I grew up, I'll give a moment for you guys to look horrified.
He's not too far off.
I'm not far. I don't like to admit it either, but I was saving myself.
He listened to the message of Jesus and was trying.
Special.
He was trying to save himself until he had a girl, basically somewhat rape you. Mm-hmm. Somewhat.
I was into it, but I didn't want to do it.
You got hard, but
you know. But so she popped my cherry.
I'm so happy to be. That you're having me on my final appearance in show business. We've covered every buzzword. You know how they put hashtag? Can you see? Yeah, you know what I mean? The name of the show, say the name of the show again so everybody knows. It's called?
It's Invasion of Privacy.
And it is an invasion of privacy on both sides. Right? It really is. You got the right guy.
It's very uncomfortable. Because
I feel invaded. I'm invaded.
You didn't know how uncomfortable it would be on you. But now happens to everybody. It's like, it's like a finger in the ass that you didn't know was coming.
Invasion of privacy, hashtag mayonnaise, hashtag rape, hashtag finger in the ass, hashtag politely move to the back. So, you know, there's a lot of great hashtags here.
yeah, that's true.
Why are you guys, it's not my show. Why am I interviewing you? Why are you guys so open? You guys are so open. Have other people told you that?
The thing is, like, we don't know much about like current events or like
I have topics that I'm gonna
she
get
does
to.
Have a list of topics.
Let me get to one of the
but
topics.
You'll see
actually,
how little we know about them.
That's
once
true,
we start.
Though. We don't know very much
but,
about
so
them.
I might not know. Go scrolling with me.
That's what we do.
I do want to bring this up because we haven't podcasted in a couple weeks and there's a huge event going on. We don't have to get like too majorly serious about it, but I just want to say there's obviously, you know, Russia is invading the Ukraine. Pretty big stuff. I'll just say it's kind of scary being possibly on the verge of a nuclear war. Like it's one of the worst things we want to avoid that like we've seen in a lot of movies, like worst case scenario. So I don't know how it's all going to play out. Biden just banned Russian oil and gas imports to the US from Russia. Gas prices already, I'm sure as you know, are like skyrocketing, but I think it's still a good move because it's some bullshit.
All I'm saying is if we get nuked, I just want to get directly hit by the nuke because I don't want to be a survivor in the nuclear holocaust. I just want to make sure that it hits me hard as shit and then everybody else can clean up the mess after because I ain't trying to be a survivor while it's happening.
If we get nuked, this is, I think I think I'm your relative or something, because I've never felt so comfortable talking about things that we're not supposed to talk about. Today, all right. So today, talking about the Ukraine. Today, I and going back to Kate, where we began today, about you made me feel so comfortable because you were such a human being. You had, you know, no airs, no pretensions. So I wake up every day, and even if I have a good show, I always feel I didn't do good enough. I doubt myself, whatever. And I had some anxiety today. You and I both bonded over anxiety. And I decided what makes me feel better, it's going to lead into the Ukraine. I know it doesn't seem like it, but I like to have potato chips because they're salty, tying back into the matzah, CG. And the salt kind of, I think, helps me with my low-level depression. So I take the crumbled potato chips because I'm a manorexic. I don't want to get fat. So I don't like to eat the whole potato chips. So I sort of crumble them up so I don't think I'm eating it. And then I put them in ketchup and I dip my fingers in. Watch, this is what's disgusting, people. Not the sex, not the rape, not the, oh my God, ketchup on potato chips. Now they're turning off, you know? So I'm eating that and I say to my girlfriend, you know, honey, I had some anxiety today. And I needed to eat something that would put me in a good mood because I'm going to be going on invasion of privacy. And, you know, I want to be authentic, but I want to be in a good mood. You know, I'm so excited to be on the show. And she turns to me and she goes, you know, there are people in the Ukraine that don't even have one potato chip. Uh-oh. In other words, she just used, she had no care. She had no compassion for my anxiety. Right. She just totally, she was totally like, there are people that only have one potato chip in the Ukraine. What are you complaining about? So yes, the Ukraine is a total, what's going on there is absolutely wrong, but notice how she used it in a personal way. By the way, my grandma Greenberg came from Odessa. So I am part Ukrainian.
As am I. My great grandmother came from Odessa.
Right.
So that's interesting. Yeah.
So my other relatives came from Newfoundland. So I'm half Canadian, half Jewish. I was circumcised with a hockey stick. There, we've got jokes. Just in case you people find some of the topics too serious, we've got jokes. What's the next? Anything more? You know, look, Kate, you are such a... Can I explain to people, I take things very seriously, but at the same time, I then put a drop of humor in. I don't like to be all funny. I like to show respect. You know, again, if we focus more on peace and kindness, I mean, doesn't it just make sense? You're not supposed to go to war. I mean, when are we gonna, can I be serious for a second? I mean, that's something everybody knows. You don't go to war, right? You don't invade in a... The more serious I get, the more Kate laughs.
No, it's true. It's like, it's like so obvious to me too. It's like destroyed buildings for what? And like, why have we allowed Putin? Like, he just looks like a fucking weird mannequin. We already should have just...
Oh, we're so getting bombed.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I hope Putin doesn't listen to invasion of privacy.
Oh, he loves invasion of privacy. I'm telling you. Invasion of privacy, that's the title of what he's doing. That's what he's doing. It's probably called Operation Invasion of Privacy. Take over Ukraine.
That's true. That's
well, they have added a lot of censorship in Russia. People got arrested for protesting, and now they're like huge censorship things. So, you know.
And that's real courage.
Putin's a pussy. Putin's a pussy. He can eat it. I ain't scared of no Putin. It sounds like that.
I'm mad scared of Putin.
It sounds like that Canadian dish.
I'm a little, hold on. I'll take, I'm a little frightened, all right?
I'm pretty fucking scared. I'm not going to lie to you. I was going to take the manly approach to that, but like, I'm very scared.
Putin's not listening to the podcast.
He seems very powerful and very erratic. Okay, yeah. That scares me.
Very erratic. Well, I think CG, that's a good quote. CG from Invasion of Privacy says Putin very erratic. You know, but yeah. What I'm saying is they're having all these meetings, they're having all these councils. I don't need a meeting or council to go, this guy's got a fucking screw loose. It's wrong. No, it's wrong what's going on. Yeah. But you know what? This was built up by what's gone on in the world in the last 10 years. Just like your son was being shown how to be a toxic male and to not have feelings. When you don't have feelings, you see, I read this a few years ago that The average person, believe it or not, can't take a gun and kill someone. The average person, all right? If you put them into the army, it's not so easy to take the average person's like, here's a gun, kill someone. So they have to dehumanize the enemy by using, you know, when we did Vietnam, nasty Asian slurs, whatever. So there's all this dehumanization that we've seen in the United States the last couple of years with certain political groups, with women. Women are always being dehumanized. So when we look at the big picture, the macro is Russia with Ukraine and Russia dehumanizing the Ukraine by saying they're Nazis. But really this I live in a more personable world, which means I look at how it affects us with our next door neighbor, how much dehumanization has been going on in the last 10 years at just your local bullying with your kids in school, which contributes to dehumanization at the level Putin's operating at. I hope that made some sort of sense.
Yeah. I mean, the cheesiest thing I can say that's real is make art, not war. It's my mom had posters of that growing up, and we need to learn how to deal with our feelings and how to deal with conflict in general. And we're like elementary schoolers collectively on figuring this out. And it's like, you know, we can move on to happier topics. I just wanted to at least address it so I don't
see. No, you know what? I never, Kate, I mean, you know me, even on when I do shows, I don't back away from anything because I think you as silly as I could be at times, you have to live in the real world. And if you don't look at things that are negative, you can't solve them. You can't simply put on your game face when you're in the green room eating with the other comedians. No, I think it's great to talk about. I think it's great to show people that real human beings talk about everything, and we're vulnerable, we're silly, but we're also serious. So I'll go in this direction. If you want to go further, I'm all for it.
Scares me is like, once I got older and like became an adult myself and realized that I'm not any different from when I was fucking 9 years old. Like I'm still, I feel like I'm just a grown ass kid. Now I just have to do more shit. That's basically it. And so I used to think once you are grown up, like grown-ups are on top of shit. They don't do anything crazy. They don't do anything like, you know, they're holding things together. Like if you were a powerful person, you obviously were extremely responsible. And but then I find out with, you know, as I grow up, like everybody's a fucking grown ass kid. Like everybody who's running anything important too. And so I'm like, this shit could all blow up. Like,
well, you know what? But that's you're really true, because I remember Rodney Dangerfield, they asked Rodney, well, now you're famous and you get respect and you had a bad childhood, so you must be over it. And Rodney got very quiet and he dropped the character. And he just went, no, man, you never get over your childhood. So in other words, who you are as a child, I think that's very profound what you just said, because in a way you're seeing Putin throw a temper tantrum. And all of us have had a boss that's thrown a temper tantrum. So I think, CG, this is very important. What you just said is that, you know, no matter how somebody dresses up, they may look like an adult, but how many times do they behave like an infant?
Yeah.
Right.
And Putin seems really jealous of Zelensky. He was a comedian. And I found this out when the war happened. I didn't know about Zelensky, but he was this, you know, he's a charismatic guy. He once was a comedian. And I think something about that also rubs Putin the wrong way, his charisma, because as he was like bombing the Ukraine, he was putting out weird videos on TikTok trying to be funny. It was just the oddest. Yeah, like a young place in him that was jealous and wanting attention. And it's like,
well, that's the thing about where this crosses over into comedy now. The nature of being a comedian invites jealousy, because as a comedian, you're not in a scene with other actors, you're not in a movie. As a stand-up, you're standing on stage by yourself. So the nature of it, yes, it is egotistical. Do I have a part of me that's egotistical? Absolutely. I love comedians that try and say they're not looking for attention, right? They're standing by themselves, talking to people that have to keep quiet, but they're not looking for attention. So that's going to bring jealousy. The next thing is, of course, Putin is jealous because, you know, in the 1970s or 1960s, everybody wanted a guitar. Everybody wanted to be a rock star. But now everybody's a comedian. Okay. Kids are in the crib to go, they're going to their first pre-show, you know? And so Putin, of course, Putin probably goes, I wish I could be funny. and humor, the psychology of humor, without quoting too much Freud, but the psychology of humor is it's kind of a dominant thing when you're telling jokes. It's an aggressive action psychologically, some people believe. That's why when a woman tells jokes, when you're I always say a comedian who's a woman, not a female comedian. I think you have to say a comedian who is a woman. That makes it equal. But when a woman is telling jokes, especially men can be very, I don't want to be trite, but it's because it's aggressive. And sometimes men have a hard time. Boy, look how I backed this out of Putin into comedy. But it's very, the act of telling jokes is seen as dominant and aggressive. And Putin wants to be dominant and aggressive. Is that ring a bell at all?
Yeah, I think he wants to be dominant, aggressive, and just deep down loved and well liked. I think that's the bottom of.
Oh wow, all of that's it, something right? I haven't heard. Wow, that's so. You really think he wants to be loved?
I think deep down, every human, when you're born a really vulnerable baby, you want connection, you want to be held, you want to feel safe. And when you don't get that throughout your childhood, we're still grown-ups, like CG was saying, you know, aching for that. And then we go about different ways. Some people find healthy ways to find that.
No, love. I know exactly what you do. I wasn't so loved. I became a comedian. I could have become the head. I could have become a dictator and tried to destroy another country. So be glad, everyone, that I'm making these ridiculous jokes, because otherwise I'd be invading your territory. Because I'm desperate for love. No, so that's a beautiful thing. I had a girlfriend who once said to me, she said, Steve, I truthfully believe that everyone is looking for love. And you're the second person I've ever heard say it. Believe it, only two people, that everyone is looking for love.
I 100% believe that. I've had people disagree, like even the biggest gigolo dude, like dude who works on Wall Street, snorts coke off of strippers' asses every night. I think even that dude wants love. And I've said it to certain dudes like that. And they're like, no, I love, like, why would I want to fucking settle down? It's like, because we want to be seen. We want, most people are wearing masks. We want to know that who we actually are is lovable. And you also get the best sex, I think, when you're comfortable. Like if you don't really know a person's body, it's a little more like, you know, when you love someone and you get to know their body and trust them, I think even that just gets to other levels. So I think deep down everyone.
Guess what? It. I'll take your word for it. Without giving away my sexual proclivities. All right. Sounds like it could be.
I mean, I'm also a woman, so I know some men view sex differently. You know, he says he's not good at going down on women. He is. And he also had a summer of 99 where he was in Cape May as a lifeguard and he was saving himself at this time.
Saving myself for marriage.
So the older lifeguards taught him he had to go down on every girl he made out with.
They said, you have to start practicing for your wife. And then I said, you know, so they were like, why don't you just start practicing, you know, going down on chicks? And I was like, oh yeah. Cause I used to, you know, I used to get a lot of dates and go make out with chicks on the beach and stuff, but the other lifeguards were getting laid. And then, so, you know, they were like, so like, how does it work? Like, you just like, you make out with them, you touch their boobs and then you leave. And I was like, yeah. And you know, they said, you gotta do something else. You gotta try to at least hone your skills. And then I accepted and I said, you know, they were the older lifeguards and they knew what they were talking about. They were in college and stuff already. And so I accepted that was my duty that summer. And so, you know, I meet a chick, we just, you know, kiss for a second and then bam, like that, you know, there was very little wait time before I went to do my duty. And then, you know, just do that for a little while and then jump up and bounce. You know,
and that's how he got good. So he acts like he isn't, but he went through training. No,
CG is, look, I can tell a good guy. I can't tell a good woman. I've been tricked many times. No, I used to begin every date, the first date, by saying, how are you going to ruin my life? All right. And seriously, but a guy I can tell right away because when I meet a guy, I'm a guy, I know all the tricks, and I approve of you dating CG, okay? I approve. But I find that very interesting. Also the fact that, you know, that sometimes there needs to be a lot of foreplay, but sometimes you can just go from the kissing, like, you know, you don't have to be like, you know, 100 Mississippi, 99 Mississippi, 80, 90, you know what I mean? You could just kiss, 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 and then surfs up, as you kids would say at the beach.
Yeah.
Surfs up, yeah.
Exactly what we'd say about it.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to do oral sex because
I didn't either that whole summer. I was just going, you know, off the
yeah. Cotton. You go off the, but you listen for like little feedback. If you hear, you know, you do that, you know what I mean? That's why it's important for the woman to give the feedback very quickly. Because if I do something and you like it, don't wait till like moved on to something else. Then you go, now I'm doing the thing you don't like. You have to do it. Right. When I do, blah, 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 you have to go, don't wait right. for me to go, blah, 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 da, 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 da. All right. Anyway.
It's very confusing. And I never figured out the language. So now I'm just poking and prodding around down there. That's I don't, not- you know. Just wandering
he's
around.
He's so humble, Kate. Let him, he's so humble. So the first time I learned everything out of a book, I was an academic. Before I got my degree, I learned everything. I was good at math. I was good at biology. You know, I had high marks in school, but I never, so everything, my parents spent no time with me. I threw a ball like a girl because my mother showed me. My parents did nothing with me. So I never had a book on how to have sex. So I learned everything. So the first time I went south, okay, it was total improvisation. And the young lady started enjoying it. In my head, I was like, yes, there's finally something I'm a natural at. I took to it like a duck to water. If that's not the worst oral sex analogy ever. But I did. I was very good at it. Plus, as you know, Jewish guys are great at oral sex because it's all you can eat. It's free. And when we were younger, we were stamp collectors. And now back to the Ukraine with this breaking news from Kate Wolf.
I'd be the worst news reporter because I have ADD and I don't know anything really about it.
Any well, news? You can't
I do know about,
news.
I have been keeping up to date with the war situation just because also like, even when you go on TikTok, people from the Ukraine are uploading actual videos from there. So you really get to see the horrors. And yeah, my heart, I'll just end by saying my heart is with Ukraine and also the Russians that are not with Putin, you know, because they're also being harmed. So, you know, I do think prayer moves mountains. So as well as other things, of course, but I'm praying and hoping that we don't go to a nuclear war because that is just the most fucked up thing that shouldn't happen. And that hopefully we don't have leaders that are sociopaths or psychopaths, really.
My advice is just like whenever, whatever city they, you know, they go on the news and tell you to evacuate, run toward the center of that city because it's going to be much worse if you don't get a direct hit and you just live in the aftermath. That's my advice to the listeners.
But wait, wow. We've watched all these movies about the aftermath. Don't we know what to do?
They're horrible. They're all horrible.
Listen, like, I went to public school in Brooklyn, New York, and what they told us to do in public school, you put your hands like this and you lower your head under your desk. So
atom bomb prevention.
Yeah. Now, you know, we are being a little silly. But that's because that's what we do. We're funny people. But in all seriousness, we can't have a nuclear. We can't have that. We just can't have that. And to me, it should be so obvious. You don't start wars. You don't invade countries. And I think you said something very beautiful, Kate, which is you and I and many people, we're not for revenge. We're not for the death of Ukrainians and we're not for the death of Russians. Nobody should be suffering. I mean, that's the thing with wars. People don't understand that even those Russians that are dying, their fathers, their mothers, they have children. This is, you know, they make them out because you can't see their faces. Again, dehumanize them. But this is there's very real human consequences, which people, you know, because everybody says, oh, just kill. People are so aggressive today with their language. And that brought me to the other thing you just said about prayer. What's wrong with praying? Everybody bought the book, The Secret. Well, The Secret is really manifestation, is just praying, all right? If you're in the hospital and something's wrong with you, you start to have positive thoughts, I'm gonna survive, that's praying. If you're gonna get a heart transplant, the first thing they wanna know is how positive you're at. You know, because people today love being negative. Believe me, I do it to be funny and because it's a cultural Jewish thing. But basically, I am a positive person. It's funny as shit.
What? It's funny as shit, yeah, so I get
it. I can't help it, but Jewish people, they don't, you know, you see the glass half full, half empty. They don't even see a glass, okay? there's not even a glass. There's not a table. You know what I mean? Just a check. But having a positive frame of mind, if you're going to get a heart transplant, they're not going to give you a heart transplant. So it's so easy for people to be sarcastic. I think sarcasm is the easy way out. I think not.
Use it all the time. Easiest way out of everything. I love it.
Yeah, people are so...
I like
that. What's this? What is that?
That was me, my quick out from the sarcasm. That was the sound effect it made when I dart out of the room.
It never hits. And like for some reason he keeps doing it and like it never works.
I feel like one day she's gonna get it. Like we're around each other
First of all, she's immune to it. All right. She's built up some sort of, you know, ever heard this thing? It's kind of trite because a lot of people said, if you put a frog in boiling water, the frog will jump out. But if you put a frog in warm water and slowly increase the heat, the frog gets used to it. So that's what happened with you. She's used to your sarcasm. You started off slowly. You turned it up a little more. Now she's so used to it, she's not jumping out of the pot. You can't even get a reaction out of her with sarcasm. Mm-hmm. What am I? Wait a second.
No, Jerry, she doesn't get
Jerry Seinfeld, if you're watching, I'm ready to be the marriage ref. If you're looking for someone to be the marriage ref, all right, I would have gone with the striped shirt. I know it's corny, but I think it's funny. I would have got in between you guys. You know what I mean? All right. You know what I mean? I think it would have been funny on the marriage. Now I'm just crazy again. If the marriage rep, do you ever watch wrestling in the old days? They would hide a silver dollar in their trunks and then they would take it out when the ref wasn't looking and rub it in the person's eyes.
Yeah. They used to have dirty tricks.
Yeah, and then they would go like this. They'd hide it in their trunks. The audience would, and then they'd go like this. I think that would have been funny in the marriage rep if the woman, when the ref wasn't looking, like Tom Papa's not looking, she just sort of, she goes like this, Tom, over there. And then she starts gouging his eye.
I really like the ones as well of, you know, old wrestling when the referee, you know, he had to hit the mat three times with his hand. And
he had to go three times, right.
And then somebody knocked out the ref. And then it's just what do we do now? Now they're just fighting and the ref's out cold. And then they go try to pin the person. They should have won. The ref's still out cold. I liked when it got into that. That era was one of my favorite eras.
That was when
the knocked out cold referee. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So that was one of your buddies. Not the Byzantine era, all right? Not the Carolingian era, right? The Corinthian. That's your favorite era, right? Definitely.
Of wrestling. Just one of your buddies needs to run in with a steel chair and fucking dome piece the ref, and then he's out for 10
dome
minutes.
Piece, dome means hit him in the dome, right? Dome piece him?
I kind of made that. It's not exactly right. Somebody who really knows slang would know that I just butchered that.
No, you have great ways of putting. I love this. You should use this. And aren't you a comedian also, CJ?
No.
I think you should be, but...
Yeah,
no. I just
and also I love this for sarcasm. You know, being a wrestler, I know we're all over the place, but then again, I hope it keeps the people watching.
Love talking about wrestling.
Did you see Mickey Rourke? I know, and you could see. Did you see Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler? Okay.
You know what? I didn't, and I have to because he's amazing. I love Mickey Rourke in movies. Even though he's a big meathead, he can act his ass off. He can be in like deep parts too, like as like a musclehead dude. So
is dangerous, even though it's acting and there's supposedly a script. But that's like being a stuntman, all right? That's like being, you know, it's funny. I just saw the movie Hooper with Burt Reynolds. I so miss Burt Reynolds, all right? My favorite era, the Burt Reynolds, you know, I like him. I like him when he was like sitting sideways in Cosmopolitan, all hairy with just a little something over his whatever, schmeckle. And I like that, but he was a stuntman. I think he did stunts, and the movie, that's like saying being a stuntman, even though it's scripted, it's so dangerous. And being a professional wrestler, you know, what is it, WWE? It is so dangerous because you can't plan how to hit somebody. You know, it can go wrong. So it looks very, very dangerous. All right. Do you have a wrestling name by any chance, CG? CG could be a good wrestling name.
Siege.
I don't. I have never been a wrestler, but I've been a big fan of the
I would
drama.
Be Steve the Bar Mitzvah boy.
That would be awesome.
I Steve think I want to be the destroyer. Boy.
I would when I pinned the guy, I would stand up and go, "Today I'm a man."
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope.
You better reel this in, Kate. You better
I liked how Ted DiBiase, the $1 Million Man, had a bodyguard but the bodyguard was a lot smaller than him. He was the professional wrestler.
Yeah, right.
And he had his little bodyguard Virgil walk out with him whenever he came out. But like he was the one beating ass. Like Virgil stayed out of the what the fuck is going on? It's supposed to be how rich he is. His fucking butler comes to his matches with him. I thought that was the shit.
Hey, if there's anybody, we have so many references today. There's got to be, it's like a buffet. Invasion of privacy is a buffet. There's got to be something here you're enjoying. Do you ever think about that when you're doing the show, guys?
Yeah.
Is the audience enjoying?
Variety for everyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's why it's usually just piecemeal. And also because we're highly uneducated about anything that's going on in the world. It really works out great most of the time.
I research, though. Like, I've been really reading about the
Ukraine,
Russia.
You Google, and you read the first line of Google, and
bro,
you're like, that's on the list.
I have been researching the Russia-Ukraine conflict, though, because it's important, because I don't want to get nuked. But he has been saying
I don't
want to
get nuked.
No, this is what he says, though. It's along the same lines, where he's like, I don't want to be nuked and survive, and then have this guy named Orville bring me to his home like while he's missing limbs and like baby feed him like baby
oh my god, this show is horrific.
Oh no, dude.
And he's being fed like with a little leaf like a plastic
exactly Orville, and Orville said yeah. Baby eat baby food. Orville's like a little simple and he thinks yeah. We're babies when really we just lost all our limbs and we're like right. Orville, we're not babies, and he's like, baby eat baby food. You can't convince Orville, but you can't run away because you don't have any appendages. I was just thinking of the horror show that would happen. I was just thinking,
I'm not a baby. I've lost my limbs. No, you have very little baby arms. These are not little baby arms. They're no arms.
And Orville's simple. He's a very big man, but he's a good caretaker.
He's like simple. Fred Ziffel from Green Acres. Remember Fred Ziffel? You know, like Fred Ziffel, Arnold Ziffel, the pig's father. He's like, hey, CJ there. You have little baby arms there.
Before we wrap up, I do want to say, in terms of that era, you know, I feel like the 90s is kind of your era, because he's a tall dude and he's been looking for shorts or jeans, whatever. And it's like all of the cuts now are like the slim cut. Like he's been looking for like the older kind of the way they cut where it's a little looser on the leg. Like that's where I think you're also a 90s guy of like just the fit of things.
So
like
we're back into errors now. That's where we're at. We're back. I just want to make sure where we're at. So
yes,
we're back at
errors, because we went looking for shorts the other day and most of them were like booty shorts for dudes. And it's
if you want to wear booty shorts, you show a lot of thigh or like they're crazy tight.
Yeah.
They're crazy tight. I was trying to get some cargo shorts. Coming out of there looking like ridiculous. Ridiculous to me. I don't know what the kids are wearing, but
I play basketball, so I wear them basketball shorts down almost to my knees. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, fairly with a lot of room. It's so funny. You know, you're a couple when your future wife says, we went shopping, right? We went shopping for shorts the other day. That's the same thing. If I say with my girlfriend, if I say your house, she goes, our house. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, how tall are you, CG?
6'4".
No, you're 6'5" or 6'6". I keep telling him.
Who goes to the doctor and gets their height after they're fucking 16? I did.
Everybody. When's the last time you've had a checkup? I don't mind my height. I mind. And I really tease my hair up. Because with my hair teased up, I'm 5'9¾".
Nice. Yeah, no, dude, the doctor doesn't fucking check my height. He's tall. I don't know. I go to doctors.
He's tall.
I feel like they haven't checked my height since I was 16. He's trying tall. Out for the wrestling store.
I climb them like a jungle gym.
Yeah. Our tall, she's like a
little Reese's monkey.
Oh yeah, she kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like kind of have to swat away.
If something happens to Michael Winslow, I'm ready to tell.
You are pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you.
I just like having fun. Now, Kate, what's the deal?
I want to do a video real quick where it's you doing the side, the effects, and then right next to him doing the effects. So it's you, clip of you.
Oh, no. Michael Winslow is great. No, you know what?
That's why I think we're fucking hilarious.
No. Michael Winslow is great. I'm very respectful. I'm not a competitive person. You know, I'm not competitive. You know, I am on the basketball court, you know, or I've even boxed a little. But believe it or not, I'm not who people think I am. I'm just, you can be a kind person and still have your definition of masculinity. And that's kind of where we began today. You need to make your definition of masculinity, not allow other males to define your masculinity, because I've boxed, I fought full contact in the ring, and yet look at me, I'm so silly and so goofy. So I get to pick, I can be a nice, kind, warm-hearted guy who don't fuck with me.
And more to make fun of you, like if you juxtapose your, he was kind of teasing you in a sense, just that it would be a good video for your sound
no,
effects.
No, I think it's, no, they sound really good to me right now. And I'm like, dude, they're the shit. But then I think if we did a video where it was right next to the actual guy, we'd be like,
you would see
he's the shit.
No, he's, oh, you're right. It was he to me. Is the I didn't shit. Even see it. This is how CG fools you. He becomes your best friend and then he demeans you. And then you go, well, that's been our show. And then I don't get a rebuttal. Should I do the bong?
Oh my God.
Even though I don't do drugs.
You never smoke ever?
No. And I'll tell you, I can't, because you've seen my show and you people who have seen me for the first time have seen me here. Okay. Can you imagine if I drank or I smoked or did, they would say, oh, he's doing it because of drugs. He's doing it because he's drunk. I have to show people that this is just naturally me. I'm this way when I'm happy.
Mm.
And if you really see, people are not stiff. If you really watch people, the reason maybe they take drugs or they drink is so they can get loose, all right? But when I'm happy, I'm just so happy to be here. Awesome. You know what? This is the first podcast I've ever done where I actually feel it's not a podcast. I feel that I just was like, honey, I'm going to call Kate and CG, all right? And then I'll be off in a second. You know, oh, why don't you use your phone? Nah, you know, we'll do it on Zoom. I like to see them. Yeah, I don't even feel we did a show. Is that good? I hope that's good.
I hope that's
good. I think that's not good for our listeners, but it's fantastic for us.
No, it is.
And then, this is what we do.
It's a comfortable, it's like a hang. It's like letting the conversation flow. Yeah. You get real thoughts.
If we hang out with just some funny ass people and just it's a few funny ass people hanging out, it's going to be a funny show.
Yeah.
And I talked about real shit, important shit, you know, without.
Like, we're serious about the Ukraine. We're serious. We don't believe in war. We're serious. We don't want to see Russians or Ukrainians die and go home in body bags to their families. You know what I mean? We understand the problem right now with the price of gases. This is a very serious problem. I mean, California, it might be almost $6, but who cares? The price of things also, we're so busy watching TV, seeing people, the lifestyles of people that, you know, whenever you watch these shows like The Bachelor or whatever you watch, they all have great clothing and they all have Louis Vuitton purses.
Oh,
they're
gorgeous.
Gucci belts, you know.
Gorgeous people.
But there are also people that have very expensive clothing. But the people that really are hurting are the people that are the working class. The working mothers that maybe don't have a live-in husband that are supporting three children and themselves. Men who have maybe gotten divorced and are living by themselves, who don't make $150,000 a year. I mean, we don't see enough of those people. And the price of gas, because in New York City, we can take a subway or a bus, but in many places, I just got back from Milwaukee. You know, I do something called Comedy for Peace. I just got back from Milwaukee. Nobody walks the streets. They all drive in Milwaukee, okay? I just got back from Columbus, Ohio and Ohio State. They all drive there. So this is we're being very real about things, but I'm quite sure of this. Something in our childhoods, in order to deal with pain or in order to deal with serious topics, we became funny. Listen, my father passed away when I was 15. He was very sick for many years. And my grandmother had Lou Gehrig's disease. All right, I'm gonna make the joke. Still, she hit 250 in her last year at bat, but her base stealing went down. That's to be expected, but she really was. She had Lou Gehrig's disease and passed away. So my way of dealing with serious things was not, some people like my sisters like this, we don't watch the news anymore. They just ignore. My way was to see that my father was gonna pass away, and he did when I was 15, to see that my grandmother was slowly losing use of all her limbs. My way was to face it, see the seriousness, and then not to be disrespectful, to make a little joke, because that made it easier for me to deal with things, but not to look away from things. So today, for me, invasion of privacy, this is the way I grew up. We're going to deal with serious things, but we're also going to laugh. So
no, I think it's one of the most difficult things to do. If there's pain in this world, and then you can spin it into enjoyment for some people a little bit.
Without negating it, though. In other words, what you didn't see us do today, and I see all the time comedians, they make irresponsible. You can joke about anything if there's humanity. But to do something that's malicious, to just do something trite about the Ukraine, you get what I'm saying? We're still being very respectful and we understand this. Everybody, you know, here's another thing. Like you said, CJ, you were alluding to it before, like everybody has the little kid in them. And I said, everybody throws a tantrum. Everybody's endured pain. I don't care how much money you have. Sometimes maybe the pain you had as a child drove you to accumulate all that money. But everybody has pain. Who doesn't have pain?
Yeah, and all different kinds of pain too. Because, you know, whatever pain you're more familiar with kind of shapes you a little differently. I agreed.
By the way, we're going to have to wrap up soon. I feel like I'm being a party pooper.
You're doing the right thing, because I would hang with you guys another couple of hours. And I don't want to...
I'm gonna wrap it up,
but no, I agree. I think every topic imaginable, you can find the light in if it's done with still respect, you know, but anything, I think, yeah, you can absolutely make it funny, bring the light to it. But yes, when some people completely negate it, it feels wrong in my soul. And I'm like, okay, everything is up for, what's the phrase? Up for grabs or whatever. Yeah. But as long as you can actually still do it with grace, in my opinion. So I do think that's important. And I just want to say thanks for coming on. You're such an entertainer, isn't it? Like, because we've had
we didn't have to do shit the whole time. That was the best podcast ever. I thought I had to go to work for an hour. I didn't do shit.
I'm mutually embarrassed and sort of happy, but I am a little embarrassed also.
No, it was great. It was so entertaining. Was awesome. Yeah, it's like going along for a ride. It's kind of like, now I know what it's like for a girl to go on top. And
Can I put that in? Kate Wolf says about Steve Marshall's personality. Now I know what it's like to be a girl and go on top. Kate Wolf. Invasion of privacy.
Now it sounds kind of insulting, but I meant it as like enjoyable.
You know, I even though I hope I get laughs, and you've seen me get laughs, but I do want to entertain people. I'm not insulted by somebody saying, and I've always been this way. So this is just what I'm having.
No, I think it's what you're supposed to be as a comedian. You're an entertainer, and some people lose the like fun, charismatic part, but I don't think you can separate it. That's not the kind of people I like to watch. I like to watch funny people who have that Showtime quality too, like they grab you. So I was just trying to say it was enjoyable.
No, it's a compliment because I'm so lucky, you know, I left a job in accounting. I had a job at Price Waterhouse. So Some of the things I always say, I have the right to talk the talk because I walk the walk. Mm-hmm. I walked away from money. I walked away from a very high prestige job because I wanted to do something I love. And like accountants, it's not that accountants are not funny. There are probably a million laughs when they're not auditing or doing taxes, but you're just not allowed to misbehave like we did today. You know, you can't say, you know, you can't be like doing an audit and going, you know, I remember when I was going down on a chick and she just like, excuse me a second. Did you bring me the taxes from 2017? Yeah. When I was a lifeguard, they told me I really should go down. Oh yeah. Really? Hold on a second. I just have it. Does anybody have the cash account? Where's the petty cash account? So this allowed me to really be myself. Am I allowed to say my social media?
Yes, I was going to say.
Please say it.
Now, please let everyone know where they can find you, any upcoming shows, all of it.
So you can find me on Twitter at Don't Behave, at DONTBEHAVE. Also, when you look at that Twitter account, you will see that it says love versus hate. And this is something I've been talking about for over 10 years. And I was telling people I saw this coming. I'm also on Instagram at Becalm Don't Behave, BECALM Don't Behave. And it's been my philosophy that I sort of came up with a philosophy because growing up, I had to behave. I had to get good grades. I went to Temple, and it's the right thing. I had to be polite, and I had to get good grades. And then when it came to my social life, I was so well behaved, nobody invited me to any parties. And that's part of the reason that I didn't have sex till I was 20, because I was so well behaved. I said, don't invite this guy. And then I learned that I wasn't being myself. This is, for better or for worse, for better or for worse, everyone, this is me. This is how I am. And that's what it means. Don't behave, be yourself. And as I said to you, Kate, when we did the gig at Shadowbrook, I said, Kate, you can only be yourself. And it took me a long time. If some people don't like it, or some people are embarrassed by it, or some people, you know, I really don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, but I can only be me. So at least give me some respect for that I came on as myself.
Oh, most definitely, definitely. But I want to say to like the murderers out there, don't be yourself. The really bad people, you know, chill back on that. That advice is for regular, pretty good people. For the other people, you know, chill back a little bit. Try to kind of mask your behavior if possible.
True. Yeah, only some people have the right to fully be themselves.
But I like when you're yourself.
Yeah.
I like him.
But
I'm worried if everybody starts being themselves. That's what I'm worried about.
Authenticity is key. But yeah, some people who don't have any breaks, you know, installed.
Then you really start out seeing how fucked up this world is.
Yeah, the guy that was only, he was trying not to watch donkey porn's like, fuck it, I'm doing it.
He's like, yeah, boy.
He said, be yourself.
Yeah.
But well, thank you.
How about this? Don't behave, be your best self. Be your authentic self. Unless your authentic self is, as CG said, a murderer or a serial killer.
Yeah, then chill back.
Slow your roll a little bit.
Your roll. You know what? You know, you would have been great in the movie, you know, Silence of the Lambs. They would have sent you in instead of Jodie Foster. You would have just went like this. You would have just said, hey, Hannibal, slow your roll.
I'm like, yo, can we just chillax? Can somebody just chillax over here?
You would have died immediately. Anyone who says chillax.
Chillax is the worst word
Hannibal's
ever.
First meal.
That's why it's perfect chillax. For the cop to come in and ask if Hannibal could chillax for a second.
Oh, God. Well, I sincerely hope that those of you that are watching this will give me and Kate and CG some feedback by writing something on Twitter at Don't Behave or writing something on Instagram. Of course, I prefer the positive things, but I accept everything. And
I'll take all the negative. It's all good, folks.
Negative.
I know.
I want to accentuate the positive. Yeah. It gives CG the negative. I accentuate the positive. CG. So and where do we watch this? Is this on YouTube? Where is this?
You can find this podcast on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. What am I missing?
YouTube, I think it's on also. Is it on YouTube?
It's not. I sometimes put stuff up on YouTube, okay. But I haven't been as on top of that. But Spotify. I'll have clips of this too. So.
Okay, so this, will this be presented in its entirety or do it?
Not the visual, but the audio, yes. The audio in its entirety. You did not say anything self-damning. You are hysterical. No, listen,
can I tell you something? Thank you for saying it. I stand by what I said, and that's one of the, that's also very important. I believe in what I said, and I know sometimes people take me the wrong way, but I hope you listened not just with your eyes and your ears, with your heart, because you guys are great people. And I'm their friend.
You all listened with your tits and dicks.
Yeah. So you kind of get the message. And I'm their friend, so it's like secondary smoke. So if you enjoyed them, you have to enjoy me because I'm secondary smoke. I'm their friend.
Yeah.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And that's all. Bye. Bye.